I'm here with Nava Nuranya and Sydney Jones from the Institute for the Policy Analysis of Conflict and my co-authors in our new joint report on Indonesian students in Egypt and Turkey. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
The report reflects some extensive face-to-face interviews that we've conducted with Indonesian students in Egypt and Turkey. It looks at their attitudes to the regional turmoil that the Middle East has been through in the last 5 years. In Egypt, focused in particular on the military's coup against the democratically elected president from the Muslim Brotherhood, Mohamed Morsi. In Turkey, some of the tensions in Turkish society, driven by the sense of that President Erdogan there is becoming a more authoritarian figure, but also, of course, the rise of Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. I wanted to first turn to you, Nava, and ask you about, just to get some basic data, in terms of Indonesian students in the Middle East, you know, what are we talking, what are the major centres, what kind of numbers are we talking about?
Egypt has the largest number of Indonesian students in the Middle East, which is 4,500. In Saudi Arabia, you have 800 to 2,000. In Yemen, you have 2,000 too, but that was before the evacuation. And in Turkey, we have slightly over 700 students because it's a newer destination than Egypt. And for the interviews itself, we interviewed 47 students in both countries, in Cairo and three cities in Turkey.
Turkey is an interesting one because it is a more recent destination for Indonesian students. What have been the key factors in Indonesians wanting to go to Turkey?
First is the availability of scholarship, because at first the Indonesians' first choice would be, you know, the usual Australia, the UK, America. But recently more and more students found out that Turkey also gives scholarship, and there is an increasing opportunities for Turkish government scholarship. Whereas in the past, it was just the private organizations like the Gulen Movement that give scholarship.
One of the things that came through very strongly in your interviews, and you did these interviews in Egypt and in Turkey, was the strong sense of cultural difference between Indonesia and the host countries of these students. What were some of the elements of this?
The Indonesians mostly feel that they're very different from the Arabs. So they're Easterners, they're softer.
And the Turks.
And the Turks, yes. Yeah. Softer, more gentle, and not non-violent, conflict-avoiding behavior, that kind of thing. And it relates to democracy because they think that Indonesian is more suitable for democracy because the people are more civilized than the so-called the unruly, rude Arabs.
There was a sense that they felt that the Arabs require a strong hand, and therefore military rule was the most appropriate rule in Egypt.
Yeah, in fact, they used the word iron hand.
What about in Turkey? I mean, there were some interesting reflections on the differences between Turkey and Indonesia and how they approach diversity.
So Indonesians mostly are proud of the Indonesian way of protecting diversity, the principle of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, the unity in diversity. Whereas in Turkey, they think that the government approach was to eliminate those differences, especially with the Kurds, like imposing the Turkish language, and saying that they're all Turks, rather than acknowledging these differences.
Sydney, one of the other elements of the report was, the very strong sense of pride of these students in Indonesia's democracy. How did that come through for you?
I think it came through by their basically looking at events in Egypt and Turkey, which for them reaffirmed that democracy was the best way to go. I think that they saw that the democratic transition in Indonesia as having successfully removed the military, for example, from political positions, which clearly didn't happen in Egypt. They saw democracy as being almost a stepping stone on the way to having a government that respected Islamic values. So it wasn't that they weren't interested in an Islamic government, they were. But they thought that democracy was the best way to get there, to the point where it was actually better to work through non-Islamic political parties in a democracy to gradually almost acclimatize the population to these values rather than scare them off, as the Muslim Brotherhood had done in Egypt, by going straight for an Islamist agenda.
What was also interesting was the way in which they evaluated political leaders, particularly the comparison they made of former President Morsi in Egypt and President Erdogan in Turkey.
Yes, I mean, they saw Erdogan as having done everything right. He was very careful to deliver economic benefits early on, address the economic issues early on, and clean up the police and corruption early on, in their view. And did all of this with a very strong sense of leadership. Whereas in Egypt, Morsi, in their view, didn't deliver on anything economically. He tried to move too fast. He was more interested in revolution than reform, and tried to impose an Islamist agenda before the people were ready for it. So many of the Indonesians, looking at the two countries, saw the strong leadership of Erdogan as being the way to go. Interestingly, however, they saw civil liberties and the crackdown on civil liberties in two different ways. In Egypt, they saw the coups as being, the coup against Morsi as being necessary to prevent deterioration into chaos and anarchy, almost picking up the military's own line. But in Turkey, they saw Erdogan's move toward authoritarianism as being not necessary. They were proud of the fact that Indonesia protected civil liberties, in their view, better than Turkey did. And the reason they saw Turkey with a more negative viewpoint in terms of the crackdown was precisely because there was no excuse for it.
One of the other things we asked the students about was their attitude to Islamic State. What came through in those questions?
Universal disapproval of the Islamic State. Nobody was in favor of it. And in fact, everyone, particularly at Al-Azhar, could give you chapter and verse, quite literally, of why the Islamic State's caliphate was illegitimate. And it was a reminder of the fact that Al-Azhar itself has positioned itself very strongly against the Islamic State, and every student got a daily dosage from their instructors about why the caliphate was illegitimate.
Although there was an interesting, there was a significant section, I think about just over 20% of the students had an interesting theory about the rise of Islamic State.
Yes, so despite the fact that everyone was against it, a very strong proportion of the students believed that ISIS was the creation of the United States, and that the Syrian conflict was also the creation of the United States as an effort to divide and destroy Islam.
Sydney and Ava, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.